dark hills, the ways, the highways. He walks on the real road.
Hallelujah.
Or through glimmering lights, helps me walk the cold.
Listen, he walks the dark hill to show me the way
of my life.
Oh, what a joy, what a joy, what a joy to bring you this broadcast. It's going to be exciting. I want you to get right in the middle of it. I want you to hear everything that's said. I really want it to be a great broadcast today, and I know it's going to be, and I want you in the middle of it. Now, I want you to hear the title. This is extremely important that you know what we're going to talk about. Our world is coming apart. Our world is coming apart. If you don't see how this world is falling apart, then I probably won't be able to help you. But if I can show you, if you'll listen to the Bible, if you'll listen to what God is saying, I'm telling you, this world is in such an hour. In such a moment that there cannot be anything less than the great judgment, the end of this world as we know it. Now, everybody's saying things like that from a different perspective than a Bible perspective. But I come to you with the Bible because that is the very word that has set the course of this world. You can believe anything you want to believe out there. You can believe anything anybody is saying. But the final thing is this Holy Bible. God's Word. God is directing the course of our world affairs. Would you listen to that? God is directing the course of our world affairs. They're coming right down to the end, right down to the final hour, right down to the moment of God's judgment, and then a new world, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, a new people glorified in His likeness, a purity, a righteousness, a holiness forever. The wicked will be in the place of eternal torment. I'm overwhelmed when I think about people going to an eternal hell. I'm overwhelmed. I don't love the thoughts of it. If I could eliminate out of the Bible and say that wouldn't be, I wouldn't try, of course, because the Bible is the Bible. But if I could eliminate it, it would make me hurt less. For the wicked and for the ungodly and for the backslider. For 3 weeks now, the Holy Ghost has been dealing with me about backsliders. About backsliders. And I'm going to be preaching again tomorrow on some of the biblical evidence and biblical understanding of why men backslide. Why they slip away. Why they leave their first love. Why they turn against the cross of Christ. Why they go back to the world. Why they quit praying and quit allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their life. I'm telling you, the hour has never been greater and the need has never been greater. And brother, Brother Chambers is doing nothing but trying to stay in this Bible, trying to stay in the truth of God's Word, and be faithful to every one of you out there. I want to be faithful to every one of you out there. I really do, with all my heart. Now, we're going to go in the Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Three chapters from the end. 22nd chapter is the last chapter in the Bible, the book of Revelation 22. Then 21, and then come back to 20. And we're going to go to chapter 20 of Revelation. So get your Bible. I want you to open it up and get ready and go with me to verse 11. Book of Revelation 20 in verse 11. Now, we're going to deal today with what's happening in our world. Let me tell you something. This week in Charlotte, this broke our hearts. I don't know how many people are going to take a stand against it, but the school board of Charlotte, North Carolina, this week decided that they would start the new school year by allowing transgender children to use the restroom, the shower room, the changing room, all facilities at that their choice. That means boys that somebody is told they might be a girl can then confess I'm a girl, and then he will have the right to go to any bathroom of his choice. Now, you know little boys, and you know how mischievous they are. Can you imagine how many dozens of them are going to claim to be something they know they're not, just for the joy of going into the girls' restrooms and the girls' shower rooms and the girls' changing room? It is insanity. And it's really worse than insanity. It is a blasphemy against every Christian. It's a blasphemy against every Bible-believing church. It's a blasphemy against the Holy Bible. It's a blasphemy against the God who reigns in the heavens. And that crowd of liberal, insane people will answer to God in the judgment for it. Now, you say, well, maybe some of them are Christians. That's impossible. You can't deny the Bible and be a Christian. That's impossible. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's Luke 4:4, if you want to go read it. Luke 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live in a generation that doesn't care anything about God. Did you know they're now saying in political circles right now, Democrats in a big time have been saying it, the President Clinton, the Vice President, that we Christians who stick to the Bible and believe the Bible are an offense. Just by being there, we are an offense. I'm just an offense when I walk into a store, you know. But I go gentle, and I'm a grandfather kind of a person. I make friends everywhere I go. But the wicked are becoming more wicked every day. What will it be if Jesus would choose to tarry another 3 or 4 years before the rapture? Well, we really don't know. We don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but we do know this. We're at the end of the road. Are you aware that we're at the end of the road? Now, I like that song I was just playing. Jesus walks the dark hills. Believe me, he walks with me everywhere I go. Now, I want to do something today that I've never done before, and I'm going to do it on a over the next periods. I want to give you every week for the next 10 weeks, 12 weeks, one of the things by the Bible that you can determine a person who is backslid. See, a backslid person will not likely admit they're backslid. They don't know they're backslid. They don't agree they're backslid. They've got off in some theology. They've so seared their conscience. They've so rebelled against doing right. The enemy has, of course, made them dark and blinded. The Bible says the minds of them that believe not are darkened, lest the light of the gospel should shine unto them. So the minds of backsliders are darkened, and you make them mad when you say to them, you're living a backslider's life. You're acting like a backslider. You're doing the things backsliders do. I'm doing a list. It's going to be about 14 things in it that will give you a biblical picture with the Bible that shows why and how and what are the signs, what are the evidence, what are the proof that this person has turned back. Anytime a person doesn't live by this whole Bible, anytime they reject any part of this Bible, anytime they turn from living any part of this Bible, they are in a backslid condition. Do you understand that? That's my point for today. That's my point for today. Anytime, I'll say that several times, that you don't live by this Bible as the infallible Word of God. Man shall not, Jesus said this now, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If there's any of this book you reject, you are in a backslid condition. You say, I don't pay my tithes any longer. Then you're backslid. I said, you're backslid. You can't say it any other way. The Bible makes that very plain. Now, I'm going to give you these kind of things. But now let's go to our thought for today. Our world is close to judgment. Our world is coming apart. Our world is in a mess. Are you aware of that? Let me read to you. I want you to listen carefully, and then I want questions. I want you to ask me any question you want to ask me. I promise you, I'll take it and do my best, and if you disagree with me, I won't be unkind to you. If you're ugly, I'll just, you know, move on to somebody else. I won't hang around and let people be ugly. That's not fair to my audience. My audience deserve to be treated respectfully. And those of you who love me and want me to minister to you, you want me to be treated respectfully. And both of those things I will require on this broadcast, okay? I came into the parking lot this week and a man was sitting out there in a big Cadillac waiting on me. I didn't know this, and I headed over toward him to welcome him and found out right quick he didn't come to be welcomed. He come to give me a piece of his mind. He said, you have got to quit preaching this rapture. He tried to pronounce judgment on me, but I pled the blood against it and stopped it and didn't let him. And I said, no, sir, I'm not going to take any more of it. I don't want to be unkind to you. There's the highway. You need to proceed on down the road. And I sent him on the road. I got his name and address. And if there's any more, I've been told by the proper people that I must prefer charges against him if he moves at one more point against me, that I must stop him because he could actually something even worse in his mind that I'm not going to name. I don't know what he has in his mind, but I know he was you could tell he was out of it. Just a sad situation, really is. But when you do the things I do and you stand like I stand, you know, I'm kind of a lightning rod. I just say what's in the Bible. And the only reason I'm odd is because preachers have quit preaching the truth. I wouldn't be odd if all the preachers was preaching the Bible. I'm only odd because I still preach the Bible. Isn't that amazing? I'm only odd because I still believe the whole Bible. Now let's get to this. It's really important. The book of Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. I saw a great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. I mean, this is the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment where the wicked, every wicked man and woman will be there. Standing before this great white throne judgment. And when it says, and the heavens and the earth fled away, it meant that nothing could resist standing before him. Nothing. There was nothing that could blind him. There was nothing that could blight him. There was nothing that could condemn him. He is sitting there on his throne in absolute authority, ultimate and perfect authority to judge the wicked. To judge the wicked. And I saw the dead. Listen now. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, you got to notice that. There were a large number of books that were opened. And then there was one single book that was open, called the Book of Life. See, when men are judged, they're going to be judged by two things. Number one, by the blood of Jesus, which is the means by which your name is written in the Book of Life. The Book of Life, and then books, which has all of your deeds, every ugly thing you have done that you have not repented of. Every ugly, every mean, every lying, every darkness, everything evil you have done that you have not repented of it and received the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will all be there on your record in front of you. And notice he said the books were open. Do you know there are people who it would take a whole book to record all of their mischievousness and their evil and their dark deeds? It would take a whole book. There are people, it would take a whole book, because they've lived so wicked, they've lived so evil, and they've done such dark things. And so the books will be open, and there won't be one thing you can escape being judged from. Every lie you've told that Jesus hasn't had the privilege to wash away with his blood. Every ugly thing, every dark thing, every wicked thing, however you've lived, and it has not been covered by the blood, it will be on your record, and it will be there in front of you, and God will open the books. This is overwhelming to me. It really is. And I saw the dead, small and great. The little ones, the big ones. That means the rich and the poor. That means the educated, the uneducated. That means the great intellectuals and those, you know, who kindly have a peanut brain. All of them will stand there before God. And the books with an S, will be opened. Everything. Can you imagine a recording angel in the heavens, maybe more than one, who are recording everything that every human being does? Nothing excluded. You tell a lie, it's written down. You cuss and swear, it's written down. You fornicate, it's written down. You just be mean and ugly to your parents, and it's written down. You treat your companion, your sweetheart wife, or your kind, caring husband, you treat them wrong, it's written down. Every bit of it is on the record, and it's there, and it can only be cleansed off that record by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I cannot think of anything more awesome. That everything you have done is going to be on your records, and it's going to be right there. And the only thing that can wash it away, you can't just go to somebody and say, "Will you forgive me?" You can't just say, "I'm sorry." You can't just turn around and change courses. You can't just turn over a new leaf. It'll all still be there if it's not washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I cannot think of any reason why anybody listening to me wouldn't want to get on their knees right where they are and repent and make their past record clear before the Lord and ask his forgiveness. Now, you cannot ask his forgiveness if you do not quit living in that wrong. If you're lying and you're going to keep on lying, then he cannot forgive you of your past lies or your present lies, either one. He can't forgive you of anything until you repent. And that word repent means turn around. That word repent don't just mean words. It means change your action. Turn around. Friend, are you listening to me? I'm bringing you something that could change your life forever. You would never be the same. I'll never forget when the Lord washed my sins away, made a new creature out of me. It was the happiest day of my life. I left that church that night, and on the way home, I threw my head out the window. We stopped at a house. I was riding with some cousins, and I was only 16 now, just a little brat, to be honest with you. And I said, "I went to church tonight, a goat. And I'm going home a sheep." I'll read you something about that in a little bit if I have time. But I want to tell you something. It is nothing like you having your record completely sanitized. Your record completely cleansed. Have you ever been into a room that was a mess and you cleaned it up and you scrubbed it and you stood at the door and looked at that room and now it looks so nice. It looks so clean. It looks so wonderful. We had a couple of closets here. That was one mess. Now, everybody had been putting stuff in there. Nobody had been in there to clean them, and I got one of the men, and part of our school, to go in there and clean up that room, and I stood at the door and it felt like a different room. Well, that's just a room. How about your heart? How about your mind? How about your whole personality? How about everything about you being sanitized and scrubbed and made white? I'll never forget George Williams was in prison, a precious young man, many years ago, lived in our home after we helped him get out of prison, took him in our home and helped him go to college and got a teaching certificate and was just a wonderful son. Now, I'll never forget when he got saved. He made the statement something like this. I don't remember the exact words. He said, "It seemed like somebody took a mop and reached down inside of me and scrubbed me clean." Now, that's probably not the exact words, but that's similar. Took a mop and reached down inside of me and scrubbed me clean. Wow, I didn't know I was going to get on this like this today, but it thrills my heart. Every one of you out there listening to me, you could be scrubbed clean before this program ends, and your sins could be gone. And if they're not gone, they're going to be in this book that will be in the Father's hand when you stand at the white throne judgment. And you just don't want to let that happen. I'm telling you. You don't want to let that happen. You understand, everybody, this white throne judgment, as far as we can tell, are sinners. They are lost. And as soon as they get through, do you know that right here and there, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in that book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, the book of life was the means to determine their absence from that great book where the redeeming blood had washed away and the recording angel had recorded a new creature. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. The white robe angels tell the story. A sinner has been saved. Do you want to be saved today? You want to be born again while I'm doing this broadcast? Get on your knees right now. Father, I pray for them. Anybody out there that will repent and turn. Now, I got to go on. I'm getting kind of bogged down here because it's too good to hurry. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead was judged out of those things which was written in the book according to their works. Did you know the wicked dead are going to be judged according to their works? The degree of your fire, the degree of your misery, the degree of your sorrow, the degree of your hellishness will be determined by the degree of your sins. Just like Christians get judged and rewarded for their good deeds, sinners get judged and rewarded for their bad deeds, except it's a bad reward instead of a good reward. Now, this is the Bible. This is the pure Word of God. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it. Somebody died on a ship and had to be buried at sea. The sea gave up the dead which was in it. And death and hell. See, when you die now, you go to hell. You go to the place in the heart of the earth where the wicked await the judgment. It's fire down there. Don't think that's going to be no picnic. No, no. The rich man woke in hell and he cried out for Jesus to send Lazarus with just a little water on the tip of his finger to touch his burning tongue. For he said, I am tormented in these flames. Now, it was Jesus who told that story. It wasn't Brother Chambers. It really wasn't Brother Chambers. Let me open the lines before I read on. 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-338-7884. Now, our local number is 704-391-0588. The lines are open, and the ladies are standing by. I think we've got a lady and one gentleman, and they're standing by to take your phone calls. And grab your phone and immediately call me, okay? I want you on the line. I want to answer your question. I will do my best to answer your question. Now, if you call and you don't have a number show up on the dial, they will not let you through to me. They will take your number and call you back and get you on, because we can put nobody on that we don't have their number. We've had some evil people that want to disturb this program more than they want to eat, I guess. And so we don't want to give them the time of day to disturb any one of you. But listen, call 1-800-338-7884, 704, listen now, 704-391-0588. And the email is jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. I want you on. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to talk to you. And I don't want you to go to hell. I'm promising you, I don't want you to go to hell. You are too important to me. You are too important to me. I want you to have what you need from God. I will do my best to be a blessing to you, okay? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Hey, I had one button here I didn't switch. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I tried to get through twice last week, and you could hear me, but I never could get you to
Well, it was, we had somebody disrupts our program. We don't know how they do it. We've got the FCC working. We've got our telephone company working. It's been given to the police. We've got some phone numbers we've got now that we may have to prefer charges. And we're just trying our best to get it solved. It's been going on 6 months. And we've done everything we know to do. And last week was just a bad week, and we don't know how they did it. It didn't start till right before the program, and it was over as soon as the program was over. How does somebody disrupt a telephone system in a church like that?
I don't know. Maybe they'll get under conviction and get formed again. And then
that's what I've got people praying, for them to get under conviction and get right with God, because it may be somebody that used to be in high levels of security. Maybe they were, maybe they were whatever, you know, and they just determined to, and they know how to get into places and disrupt the communication. That's all I know. Go ahead now. It's good to have you.
Yes, sir. I just called to, remind you who will be the first go into Lake of Fire, if you haven't already mentioned that. You know, the first one will be the false prophet.
The Antichrist and the false prophet, and then the next one is the devil himself.
That's right.
And then it's all the wicked all over the world.
That's right. Wonder why the Lord is waiting and putting Satan in third. I figured he would have went in first.
Well, but the Antichrist, that's all God's plan. I don't know that. I've never heard it questioned before, never thought about it. But the Antichrist and the false prophet, you realize they're just doing the devil's business. They're just as guilty as the devil is.
Oh, yeah. Exactly right. And the good thing about it, if you're saved and born again, you'll never go to the white throne judgment because you've already been judged. We were judged at Calvary, found guilty.
You're not into now. Once saved, always saved, are you?
Oh, no.
If you go back into sin, then you're going to be at that white throne judgment.
Right. But
and there, do you know the church world is absolutely full of backsliders? I said to a preacher last night, and he's a big name, wonderful, great camp meeting preacher. Well, it was actually yesterday morning. Brother Kenny Morris from Mississippi, great preacher, man. He's been in this pulpit numbers of times. And I said, Brother Morris, there are so many backsliders. He said, the church is full of them, Brother Chambers. And I knew that. And most of these in the church don't even know they're backslid. They have backslid so gradually and so, imperceptibly, just going deeper and deeper away from God, until they don't even know the case they're in.
I know. And, I believe probably in the Christian world, probably no more than 3-4% are actually born again. I mean, ready to actually go.
Well, very likely, even Billy Graham used to say that maybe 10% in churches are really born again. Most of them just got religion.
Yeah.
When you're born again, sir, you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And if you have never been made a new creature, then you've never been born again.
Right. That's right.
Thank you, sir. And God bless you. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, preacher.
Hey.
I am so sorry that the country has voted for our little children to go to the bathroom with transgender people.
Well, now, our country hasn't voted for it. It's been the leaders that's voted for it, right?
Leaders, yeah.
And how about our school board? Charlotte Mecklenburg School Board. And they're breaking the law in North Carolina that says that's illegal. But they are willing to defy the law. They are Obamaites and Clintonites and Democrats. And they literally have gone to hell in their lifestyles.
And they have voted against McCrory so many times. And he's just doing what he knows to do.
I am grateful for the way he stood on this issue.
I am too.
Thank you, and God bless your heart. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I've got a friend of mine that committed adultery with a married man, and she's under the ruse of thinking just because she's repented and asked for forgiveness, that she's not going to pay for that.
Well, there is a new theology now that's been invading the radios and television, that once he forgives you of sin, as a born-again Christian, that means then all your sins from then on, regardless of what you do and what you say and how you act, they are already forgiven. And she probably is into that crazy idea.
Well, yeah, she said she's repented and she's gone to God and he's forgiven her for it, so she's not going to have to pay a penalty for the act.
And she continues in it.
Okay.
Is that what you're saying? Are you saying she continues now to live in it?
No, I don't. As far as I know, she's only did this act two times with this married guy, and they continue the friendship, but the other part of it, she said it's platonic and it's moved on, but the way I was raised and what I was trying to tell her is just because you have repented, and yes, God has forgiven you, but you're still going to pay a penalty for what you did.
Well, now that is a totally different subject. And let me give you my opinion here before I move on. I do believe when you have lived in fornication, you have sinned against your body, there is a penalty that goes with that sin. And you know, you're going to have that penalty hanging over you. Now, I do believe he forgives and that you're right with God and you can live an on-fire Christian life and God will use you and bless you. But there are sins that many times the marriage relationship is never as beautiful as it used to be. There are many different things that can be the result, but that's a very touchy issue and you have to be very careful with it. But when God's forgiven you, he's forgiven you, and you're free of it. But you still can regret it. You can be hurt over it. I regret some of the things I did in sin, and that's been over 64 years ago.
Well, does the Bible say you reap what you sow?
Absolutely. That's why I said what I just said, that there are penalties, and they can be very, very hurtful in the future. Thank you, my dear friend, and God bless you. Now, call quickly, 1-800-338-7884. Our local number is 704-391-0588. I want you involved on this broadcast. I want you to be blessed. I want your life to be blessed. And I want, above everything, you will help me stand up. Now, let's deal a minute with this school issue in Mecklenburg County. Are you a parent? Do you have children in public schools? Are you going to put your children in a public school next year with this being the law of Charlotte-Mecklenburg? Now, if you do, I want you to understand, you are sinning against your child. You are doing your child the most unholy injustice that I know how to tell you you're doing. And I'm telling you, mothers and daddies, if you don't take a stand on this issue, you're not worth your salt. You're not worth the salt in your bread. I'm telling you, if you don't take a stand on this issue, preachers out there who have so compromised Myers Park Baptist, Myers Park Presbyterian Methodist, I don't know what all, and I don't know those three are still doing that. Myers Park Baptist has been the leader of compromise for many years, from the time I come to Charlotte, and they're gonna pay. But preachers who will compromise these issues, you're not worth your salt, preacher. You know what the Bible calls you? A dumb dog that won't bark. Did you know the Bible calls preachers that? A dumb dog that won't bark. Man, that's overwhelming. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the Bible said, and you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Our country is being run by people with reprobate minds is what's the problem.
You're right. Exactly. They got reprobate's mind. They've been turned over to a reprobate mind. People say, I'm praying for Obama to be saved. Obama is well, long past the point of being saved. You can't listen to that man and not know that God has turned him over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. He will spend eternity in hell. Now, if he could repent, I would be happy, but I don't see the possibility.
Nope. They're defying God's word, and they know they're defying it, and they're still passing new laws. All the judges, the people in the high places.
It's amazing. And that's why we better, if you out there, and you don't think and pray hard about your vote this coming November, and this is not just precedent, all the way down the line, the Democrat Party has gone to hell.
Amen.
They have gone to hell. It is the most amazing. How does the whole party go in that direction. And all they want to do is take away your guns. That's all they want to do. And you know, I'm not a gun freak. I've got guns. I've got pistols. Would you use them? You better believe I'd use them. If my wife was in danger, somebody come in my home, somebody say, well, you ought to trust God. I would. I'd point that gun at that crook and trust God to help me shoot straight.
Well, we got the freedom we got right now because of them messages them boys had back in the old days.
Well, yeah, you're right. The privileges we've got have been paid for with blood. Thank you, sir, and God bless your sweetheart. Hey, give us a call, 1-800-338-7884. I want to get back on this issue about the schools. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to get your children in a good Christian school? A good Christian school. I mean, our parents at this school here at Paul Creek, right here on this campus, they're happy people. Their children are so happy. I get amazed at how those kids, how they love us and love me and love the good things we do for them. Hey, friend, I want to tell you something. It's later than you think, and I'm going to the email here and see if there's anybody calling. All right, let's see what we got here. Well, that's not for me, I don't presume. Anybody else here? I like to go to email. When they stand before God, what is the difference between a born-again Christian who received no reward and a Christian who backslid? Who is backslid? What's the difference between a Christian? Hey, that's a good question. Listen to this. What is the difference between a Christian who did not serve God like they should, but they were born again, they lived a clean life, they lived a pure life, they loved Christ, they were born again, but they didn't labor, they didn't earn a reward. What's the difference in them and the sinner who was never born again? The sinner who was never born again spends eternity in the lake of fire. The born-again Christian who gets no reward will have a place somewhere in the new heavens and the new earth. They won't live in the city of New Jerusalem. Only the bride lives in that city. Those who have the highest rewards, okay? But they will live somewhere in the new heaven and the new earth if they are saved but got no reward. That's what the Bible says. You go read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I read it this morning. Very important. But who wants to be a Christian who gets no reward when you stand before God? I can't imagine that. Not me. I want to hear him say, well done. Here's another one. Please read Romans 1 verse 26. Now, I can't read five verses, okay? Please understand that. Let's read Romans 1 and 26. May read two verses here. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Then he says the same thing about men. It says that even as they did not like to retain God in the church, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. Oh man, what a misery. Can you imagine? Again, I go back to those books and the hands of the Father and the white throne and all of the deeds of your life that have not been covered by the blood, not covered, cleansed by the blood. You will answer for every one of them. And your judgment in hell will be according to the level of your wicked living. According to your level of your wicked living. Friend, I cannot think of anything more horrible. It breaks my heart to think about it. Now, send any question you have by internet, JRC. JRC@paulcreek.org, JRC@paulcreek.org, and our number to call, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, and then toll free, 1-800-338-7884. I love you, friends. I love every one of you out there. I really do. I care about your life. I care about where you're going to spend eternity. I beg of you, turn around. Turn back to God. Turn to Christ with all your heart. Hello, my friend, and welcome.
Yeah, how are you?
Hey, fine. May I help you?
Yeah. Can you explain 1 John 5:18?
1 John. Did you say 1 John?
Yes.
All right. Let me see if I can get that for you. 1 John, and what verse and what chapter?
Okay, verse 18, chapter 5.
5 and 18 says, says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Listen to this now. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. He is saying a person born again is made a new creature, and the devil cannot corrupt him as long as he lives without sin, born of God, a Bible life. Doesn't mean he can't backslide and go back to his old ways. The Bible makes that clear in many passages. But this passage is dealing with the result of being truly born again and being a brand new creature and living a clean life.
Okay, but Christians, the sin nature is still there. So, I mean,
yes, a Christian still has a nature within him that's been sanctified, that's been forgiven, start with, and then cleansed and sanctified. And so he can live a clean life irregardless of the old Adam nature. If he goes back to that Adam nature, of course, he can lose his soul.
Okay.
Thank you for calling, my friend.
Okay.
We're always delighted to take a call from everybody and anybody. You are important to us. You're important. Now, I want to do something. While I'm waiting on your calls, the lines are open. They'll let me know when you call, and I'll come right back to you. But I want to go to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. And I want to read you something that Jesus said. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Listen to that. When he comes down to this earth in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That's that white throne judgment, okay? The throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall say unto the sheep on his right hand, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Isn't that beautiful? Everybody, this is when Jesus comes, all of his glory, and all the sheep on the right hand, he introduces them into the glory of a brand new life. Now, there's another crowd there, and the king shall answer unto them on his left hand, inasmuch, wait a minute, let me find it here, that we're reading the wrong verse, and he shall say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, I'm sorry, listen now, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, you know, there are preachers today preaching that hell is not everlasting, that you just cease to be. You just go into the world of nothingness, and you don't have any future if you're wicked, if you're lost, if you're ungodly. That's not what Jesus said. Now, listen to what Jesus said. Very important for you to hear what Jesus said. And then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now listen, I mean, I've given you the word today. I could not be any more plain and honest with you. I love you. I don't desire to hurt anybody. I don't desire to wound anybody's heart. I want to make you so conscious of your sins that you cannot sleep tonight. I pray that when you go to bed tonight, you will realize you're a sinner, and every one of those sins that are stacked in some of your lives are like great big stacks. I mean, you've lived like the devil. Do you understand that all you've got to do is come to Christ with all of your heart and be willing to repent and turn from all of that, and he'll wash that record clean, and there will be nothing on your record. And then you can stand before him and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I care about you. I bring you these things because I care about you. I want you to walk with God. I want you to know God. Now, going back to that school, going back to the school issue, I want you to understand, mothers and daddies all over Charlotte, Mecklenburg, ministers, preacher friends, all over Charlotte, Mecklenburg, take a stand. Do not tolerate this. Call the schools, tell them you will do anything you have to do. Homeschool, go to Paul Creek, go to Charlotte Christian. I will find a place to put my child that does not allow transgender kids, or at least those who claim to be, into the bathroom with my girls and boys. If you don't take a stand on this issue, you're not worth your salt. Now, don't get mad at me. The Bible tells me what you are. You're a dumb dog that won't bark. Men, women, boys, girls, you are dumb dogs that won't bark when you don't take a stand for wickedness of this level. I pray that you'll take a stand. I love you. I'm not trying to be angry with you. I'm not trying to say ugly things. I'm trying to wake you. I'm trying to stir you until you come out of your skin, if necessary, and say, this is the end of it. I will take no more. I will take no more. And quit voting for those liberals. You ought to be ashamed to vote for that crowd. Now, my number to call, I've got about 17 minutes, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, and then the toll-free 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884. I want to hear from you. You're important to me. You're very important to me. I want to hear from you. I want you to take a stand. I want you to take a stand. I want you to stand up and be counted. Will you do that? Stand up and be counted. And don't tolerate this kind of mess. Don't tolerate this kind of living. I mean, we're at the end of the road. I believe I have another here. Let's see. Isn't a backsliding Christian someone who was born again but has fallen into a state of sin? So is that person saved with no reward, or have they lost their salvation? Well, let me read that to you. I think it would be better that I don't answer that in my own words. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Peter, you know, was the great apostle. Anybody know who Peter was? I mean, how could you be a more wonderful man of God than Peter? Let me read it to you. Here's what it says. For if after they have escaped the corruption of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. For it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, you heard it from Apostle Peter, that great anointed leader of the New Testament church. If after they've escaped the pollution of the world, they are again entangled therein. You can't call that nothing but Christianity. But they go back to their sins and they're lost. And see, most of our church will not preach that. They know if they preach that, they're going to lose a bunch of these people who are into this loose living. And they can live like they please. And I was saved when I was 7 or 9 or 12 and maybe a young adult. And I don't live right anymore, but I'm still saved. No, you're not saved. You're going to go to hell if you don't repent and turn from your sins. My Bible makes it plain, the pure in heart, they shall see God. My Bible makes it plain, very plain, if your record is full of sin, you're in trouble. Now, did I have a call? I think I did, and I'm not sure. Are you on the line? May I help you, please?
What verse did you read while ago in Matthew about everlasting punishment?
That was in the book of Matthew 25. Say, what is your question?
First.
Matthew 25, my friend. Did you get that?
What verse?
I don't know what you're saying. Call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I want you on the line, and I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to help you turn from your sins. I want you to get those sins out of your life. Now, you heard that verse from the book of 2 Peter. Go read that when you get home. Well, maybe you're home already. Go get your Bible. Read 2 Peter. And then there are so many scriptures. I mean, the Bible is full of scriptures of people who turned away from God and he took their name. Did you know the Bible says he will take their name out of the book of life? Did you know the Bible actually says that? I mean, those very words, he'll take your name out of the book of life. If you don't believe it, you go read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. You read it. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you'll find where he actually says he'll take your name. And then read 22. This is even, I mean, this is breathtaking. Breathtaking. Let me read it to you. If any man shall take away from the book, from the words of the book of this prophet, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. His part out of the book of life. Did you hear it? Revelation 22:19. That's actually what he says. God will take your name out of the book of life. How can you be plainer? The Bible is so powerful, it is overwhelming. And many people will deny that. They're going to argue with it. Why? Because they're in sin and they don't want to be answerable. They're in sin and they don't want to give an account. They want to do like they please. Hey, friend, I'm here to bless you. I'm here to bless you. With all that's in me, I want to be a blessing to you. I want you to live and walk with him in the light of his glory. I want you to know him in all of his fullness. I want you to love him and serve him. And it's almost over. The white throne judgment is right on. I'm telling you, the white throne judgment is right in front of us. It cannot be till after the 1,000-year millennial reign and after the 7-year tribulation period. But it's right down the road, and you don't want to be there on the white throne judgment day. You want to get right with God and remember all your sins. He'll wash them away. He'll make a new creature out of you. He'll change you completely new. You will be a new creature. You will never be the same again. Let me see here if I have any more emails. I'm always delighted to get emails. I have one here, Lake of Fire. What are they going to ask me? I read that former President Reagan's son, Ron Reagan, Jr., who is an atheist, so that he was not scared, said he was not scared of the lake of fire. Now, I didn't read that. I know nothing about it. Anybody who would say I'm not afraid of the lake of fire is probably got a reprobate mind. They no longer understand what is right and what is wrong. They're just in a bad state. That's sad. I hope Ron Reagan Jr. hasn't said that. But if he has, maybe he's been hanging in one of these liberal churches. I mean, you've got liberal churches that now, you've got even people who claim to be evangelicals that say there is no such thing as an eternal lake of fire. You know where they got it? Out of the NIV Bible. The NIV Bible is one of the most corrupt things in America today. I used to wonder how the devil would take away everybody's Bible until one day I realized he didn't need to. All he needed to do is get them reading in these new liberal Bibles, and he destroys them in the same fashion. Hey, I need your call. I've got 10 minutes. I want nobody missing here. I want you to have it. Hey, and I want to tell you what. I'm going to give you something today that you've got to have. You've got to have this booklet, this article, Our World is Coming Apart. That's a free gift. All you got to do is call. You will get it freely. It's my joy to give it to you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Mr. Robert Chambers.
Yes.
Radical son, like the backslider.
Yes. Yes, he was a backslider. The story of the prodigal son, he had a father. He was a son. That meant he was a born-again Christian in the typology he was using. And he went away into sin. He came to himself, the Bible said, and came back home and was forgiven. So he was a prodigal son, a backslider, who came back to the Father.
Okay, I was just wanting to make sure that the prodigal son was represented as the backslider.
He absolutely represents the backslider.
Okay, well, thank you.
Oh, I'm delighted, my dear friend, and God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Are you on the air? May I help you, please? Are you there? You must speak up. Somebody has to be there. Could I hear from you, please? I want to help you. All right, they will not say a word, so come back again. Give us a call, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Hey, I want to tell you something. Jesus' grace and mercy is all you need today to be a new creature. You can get ready to meet God. You can get ready to have eternal life. You can get ready for a wonderful walk with the Lord. And all you got to do is surrender, repent of your sins, and turn to Christ. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, preacher, it's a dark hour here in America, but some are getting saved and waiting for Jesus' return. You heard yesterday that during the Cape Cod week in Manhattan, New York, President Obama declared a national monument to the Stonewall Inn at a sodomite park.
Now, wait a minute. Oh, yes. He's rededicated the Stonewall Park and made, I presume it's a rededication, and made it a memorial to homosexual or sodomite living.
Now, they're going to dedicate it Monday, but others celebrating were the Democratic Senators Schumer and Gillibrand and...
Well, you got to understand, some of those senators on both sides of the aisle, Republican or Democrat, are just liberals. I mean, they're just terrible.
Just such a need for revival.
We are desperate, brother. We are desperate. I am weeping for revival. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, and God bless you. Just before I go to another call, let me remind you, listen to me now. Let me remind you that camp meeting begins Monday right here at Paul Creek. We are going to have one of our greatest camp meetings. Monday night at 7, Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. Have two sermons in the morning. Our night speaker is Mike Switzer, one of the best. Our day speaker is Brother Jeff Mayo, another one of the best. And then Monday morning, first thing, we have Joseph Gans from out in Oklahoma, a great young man preaching Tuesday morning. That begins at 10 Tuesday, and then 11, Brother Mayo, and then about 12:30, we serve lunch to everybody. Gratuitous. We serve you lunch. And then at 7 o'clock, we have camp meeting revival, and you can go to our canteen after camp meeting and purchase things and eat, you know, and help us pay the bill with the things you purchase, to be honest with you. We're going to have a great camp meeting. Monday night. Now, you understand, Monday night, that's the 27th of June. That's just 2 days away. Are you hearing me? 2 days away, camp meeting. I got to get on this phone here. I believe, what line did I have? Oh, I believe this is right.
You have no messages.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. I just wanted to share something with you. I have a relative who is retired from a denomination. He was a pastor with a denomination that was started by the great man of God, John Wesley, over 200 years ago.
The Methodist.
Yeah. And he believes that the problem with our world is the evangelical Christians.
Well, I agree with that. Have you not been hearing me say it's not the White House, it's God's house that's made America such a mess?
Yeah, and he's almost like a mad dog over the same-sex issue. He gets very angry that people don't agree that that's the way to go these days.
Well, I mean, we are a problem, brother. I mean, Bible-believing Christians are a reproach to the wicked crowd. They can hardly stand the thoughts of us. I mean, they really can hardly stand the thoughts of us because they are offended by us, that we would dare and believe they're wrong. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. I'm thinking he'll probably come out of retirement and go to work when they create the One World Church very soon.
Well, that would be great. This One World Church is one fiasco. And what just happened in Britain, boy, it's got them all shook up, hasn't it?
Yes.
You wait till Trump gets elected for president in November. If you've ever seen that crowd shook up, they'll be shook up then.
We need to pray for his safety, too. too.
Oh, I am praying for it. Everybody listen to us. Pray for the safety of Donald Trump. You know, no question about it. We are facing a dark hour, and they would love to kill him. That New World Order is one vicious crowd. They don't think nothing about killing somebody that gets in their way.
But it seems as though they may have gotten that Supreme Court justice down in Texas.
I don't think there's any doubt. I believe they killed him.
And I don't think they care that it bothers them that people suspect that. I think they want everybody to.
Yeah, they want us to be afraid of them. I heard Rush Limbaugh say the other day. I mean, it kind of surprised me. He said, the day has come. To stand up like I'm standing up is scary. You just don't know what they're going to do. That's where they're at. I wonder how in the world I have made it as well as I have. Because, I mean, I'm just a lightning rod here in this city. And I know many people have turned me off. And I know our church doesn't grow like it should, simply because, people will say to somebody, I went to visit the Fall Creek Church, and they will jump on them. They said, no, I don't mean jump on them physically, I mean mentally. You don't want to go there. That's not no place to go. Why do people say that about Brother Chambers when all I've done is preach the word?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm working on a big contact program. People all over Mecklenburg County. I've got four churches I'm sending people to, north, south, east, west. Fall Creek Ministries is the church in the west that I'm directing to.
Well, it's the desperate hours here, brother. It really is, and I thank you for that, and I love you, okay?
Yes, sir.
I love you very much. Friends, this has been a great broadcast. It has been outstanding. I hope it's been as real to you as it's been to me. I mean, I'm on target. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost poured in me. And remember, backsliders everywhere. I'm here to tell you, backsliders everywhere. And you better understand, you don't have much time left. You just don't have much time left. And you've got to get yourself ready. You've got to get yourself right with God. It's just that late. It really is. And I want you to get right with God and get ready to meet Him. I want you to get your heart so clean and so pure. I mean, so ready for the Lord's coming that nothing else matters with you but getting right with God and living a clean life. Hey, He's coming soon. Call us now. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. I need donations from you. I've got a load on me financially. I need donations. I need you in camp meeting. And I'd love to have you in church tomorrow. It would be my joy. It would be my joy to have you in church tomorrow. I promise you.
Sight at the end of Damascus Road.